Welcome in to another edition of Inside Boxing Live. We're here in Las Vegas after just witnessing Terence Crawford beat the brakes off of Errol Spence. It was one-way traffic. I am shocked because I thought, wow, it would be something if one guy dominated. Terence Crawford is an absolute menace. Chris Algieri is here. Your thoughts, Chris?
Bud is just something different. Bud is something different. That man is made to box. And listen, I'm never doubting that guy again after tonight. Because I was picking Errol slightly, but I was also saying, it's a very competitive fight. I could see it going either way. This way was not the way I expected. A one-sided drubbing from Terence Crawford, who literally made it look easy. He wasn't working that hard either. He was taking his time. The right jab was unstoppable. Errol had zero defense for the right jab. That was hurting him all night. It was the jab that was really doing the damage. Busted up his face. It dropped him in the second round. The left hand, because Crawford came out of that southpaw stance. I'm not sure that Errol was prepared for that. He had his overhand right, the overhand left that he was working, but his defense for it was not there at all. He kept dipping the wrong way. He kept dipping to the one side where that chopping left hand from Crawford was landing at will.
It's unbelievable. Terence Crawford lands 185 punches in 7.5 rounds to Spence's 95. He landed 60% of his power shots. 60%, that is an astronomical number. For Terence Crawford, this validates his career. Any doubts out there? They are now erased. This is one of the most dominant fighters of this era. Just how dominant, Chris. He becomes the first male boxer to become undisputed at two different weight classes. All eight of his welterweight opponents have been stopped. 11 straight stoppages overall. That's second only to Arthur Beterbiev. He made it look easy in there. We talked about in our pre-fight analysis that we did at Church Street Gym about the crazy balance of Crawford, the long arms, the fact that he could fight off his back foot but still be powerful. And it all started with a jab, but when he threw those looping right hands, they just found the mark every time. And we were saying as we were watching ringside, like, he was off balance, off his back foot, but still.
His balance was actually perfect, but he was fighting off his back foot and still throwing looping shots with power, which is almost like counterintuitive. How are you going to generate power sliding back like that? But the whip that he gets on those looping shots, because he has that extendedly long reach for his height, I think, what is he, 5'8", with a 74-inch reach? That's plus 6?
Yeah.
It's a wild body type. That's what I'm saying. He's built for this. He's made to box. I mean, he's got the perfect body and power, and his timing, his rhythm, his awareness, his hand position. I mean, it was a virtuoso performance. We thought, in a way, Fulton was amazing and one-sided. Crawford did the same thing, basically. This was a slightly more competitive fight than Fulton, in a way. But Spence is a lot better than Fulton. No one had Fulton in their top 10 pound for pound. Most people had Spence in their top 5.
Yeah, I was going to wait to do that pound for pound discussion. Let's just do it right now. It was a big topic of discussion heading into this week, one of the greatest weeks of boxing history, hitting Fulton in a way right into Spence Crawford. In a way was the best fighter, number one pound for pound fighter for 3 days.
Yeah.
Terence Crawford, absolutely an absolute drubbing of Errol Spence, makes him the best fighter in the world. Terence Crawford is the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world. Many had him on that list to begin with. Now it is no doubt, in my mind, you could put Inoue number two, wherever you want to make that list, but that's it. I mean, when you put up a performance like that against a guy in Spence that was top five, and you do it like that, like those numbers that I just gave you, man, I'm shocked. Like we said beforehand, like any outcome would shock me. Like a Spence domination would shock me. A Crawford domination would shock me. I'm sitting here shocked. Seeing them down, seeing them knocked out, either guy. But I'm telling you, man, I did not see that type of devastation coming from Crawford.
I think I was the opposite. I was going to be shocked by no outcome because I thought anything could happen. I could have seen Errol stopping him early. I could have seen Crawford stopping him early. If he had got knocked out in that second round, Errol, I would have been like, I could see that. The counterpunching, the sharpness, the power was real. Spence couldn't take the shots, and he stopped them because they're that kind of guys. They're both dangerous. But the way that this went in terms of hurting him early, and I don't think Spence ever recovered from that first knockdown. That hard right jab, he got up, and it might not have just been physiological, like he was rocked. It might have also been mental, emotional, figuring out, like, wow, I'm supposed to be the guy who's super durable. I'm supposed to be able to take these shots, and I can't. So how do I win this fight? Listen, he showed a lot of heart, Errol, probably too much. I wish his corner would have stepped in a little earlier. the doctors looked at them after the third or fourth round, but then also let him get beat up for another five. So I'm not sure what that was all about.
That's what I said. I put out a tweet and I said, this is a career-ending type beating, a shame to watch. That doesn't mean, like, I'm getting people say, let statements like this or why boxers don't make these fights. What? They took the fight. They fought like gentlemen.
Tremendous amount of money.
One guy won. The other guy didn't. It didn't. That's not going to deter everyone from making a fight. It's just that I felt, and Chris, you agree, that they should have stopped the fight a little bit earlier.
Well, so I want to talk about that point where people are like, oh well, you know, that's why they don't make these fights. Guys don't.
Nothing to do with that.
Guys don't not take fights because they're afraid of getting hurt. That's not the reason. We don't think like that. We're fighters. We don't think about getting hurt. We think about hurting people. So whenever people say, oh, he's ducking this guy because he doesn't want to fight him, he's afraid, that's not the case. It's always other things. I always give fighters the benefit of the doubt. Fighter, in the word, they fight. But sorry to cut you off.
No, I hope it's not a career-ending type of beating. I hope not. I want to see Errol Spence fight on again. But if they're going to exercise a rematch clause, like Spence already said he wants to at 154, then what's the point of taking three or four more rounds of absolute big-time punches from Crawford? What's the point?
Yeah,
he's 33 years old. You have nothing more to prove.
But again, like I said, aside from the physiological damage, like you're getting your brain rattled, and you're getting your ribs cracked in, like your mental getting back from that to get completely dominated and beat up like that, that's not good for a fighter's psyche either. So that was kind of why I was looking at like the corner to step in. But listen, it's already in the rear view.
Yeah, I mean, Errol Spence has been through a lot. This is a guy, you know, that we never thought he'd step into the ring again numerous times, whether it's car accidents, multiple car accidents, whether it's retina tears. So to see him in the ring in this moment was amazing. The lead up to this fight was epic.
Yeah, this
fight
week was awesome.
Was unbelievable.
Electric.
Thank you to PPV.com for sending us out here. Great partners. I hope everyone enjoyed the chat. Just stepping in the arena, I said, yeah, this feels like the closest thing I've ever felt to Mayweather Pacquiao in terms of the buzz, in terms of the celebrities that were hanging out outside, in terms of everyone at home, whether you're a boxing fan or not, rallying around at bars, at parties, to watch two of the very best of this generation get in the ring and duke it out and figure out who's the best of this best welterweight of this generation, and now possibly one of the best welterweights ever.
All
Terrence
time,
Crawford,
yeah.
It can now put his name up there on the Mount Rushmore. He can put his, he gets to keep building it, whether he stays at 147 or will remain to be seen. But damn, bro, I do not want to see a rematch. I don't see how a rematch goes any differently. I understand we'll make a lot of money. I thought a one-sided beating was the only thing that would prevent the general public from really buying into a rematch.
Yeah, I don't want to watch this fight again. I don't want to replay this fight. It was hard to watch. It was a one-sided fight. Spence took a lot of damage. And to have them do it again, even in an F54, I don't think it makes any sense. So I definitely agree with you on that. I think that Spence should go look elsewhere, go to 54, look for those fights. Crawford, I mean, world is his oyster. He's the best fighter in the world. He is a bad man. He is an all-time great.
Look
now.
At that. Look at him. We're looking at the TV with Crawford.
Belts,
all the hardware. He took Spence's belts.
He always said it. Every time I ran into him over the last 7 years, he always told me, he was like, I want Errol. He's like, and I'm knocking him out. He told me that every single time I've talked to him.
Goosebumps.
And I've talked to him multiple times, you know, from working with Top Rank. I've run into Terrence, and he's always told me, he's like, I'm taking that guy and I'm knocking him out.
We talked about this fight for 5 years, and now it's over. It's the weirdest thing about this sport is, like, you have this massive build. Some of them are short builds. Some of them fights marinate longer and longer. This one marinated for 5 damn years. We finally get it. We get hyped up for the preparation. We get hyped up for the promotion. We get even more into overdrive when it comes to hype on fight week. Then the fight happens, it ends, and now what? Like, now what do we look for in boxing?
That's the big fight hangover.
Big fight hangover. Let's talk about Crawford a little bit. I mean, this guy is the truth now. He had such a strange career. Resume that people would poke holes at, but had all the skill in the world, a lot of inactivity, a lot of doubters, but this is his moment. Tonight, Terrence Crawford became a great, and he always was in some people's minds, but tonight he left, no doubt. He is now undisputed in 2 weight classes. Like, clearing out, I mean, he cleared out 140, but then now with 147, he beat Spence for that last one, even though Spence was the one that cleared them all out, but damn, historic. Historic a night for Terrence Crawford.
You know what's really impressive for me with Terrence is that he just keeps getting better. That was the thing. Like, he was in, when he first came out, you know, and he was a prospect, he was kind of looked over. What, no one really was like, ah, he's, you know, he's good. You know, he's kind of, he's dangerous in the way he fights, but yeah, he's probably nothing special. So boy, were they wrong. Yeah. Because he has just gotten better and better and better. The more he moves up in weight classes, the stronger he got. He's not big enough for 47. Okay, he's got a perfect knockout percent. He's a better puncher now at 47 than he's ever been in any other weight class. He was going the distance at 35. Yeah. He was going the distance at 40. 47, nobody can make it to the end with him. Like, right. The fact that he keeps improving and keeps perfecting his skill set is something special, and that's why he will go down as an all-time great.
Whether he stays at 147 is the main question. I don't know the specifics about the rematch clause. I probably should. I think Spence gets to trigger it, and then...
Right, I believe the loser gets to trigger, but the winner gets to choose the weight class.
That's interesting. Maybe they want to do the 154.
Which means the fight doesn't happen.
I think it happens. I don't know. I really don't know. It's the
if Crawford just wants
reaction.
To grab that bag again, but I mean, Spence, listen, I know he's a competitor, but listen, sure, the weight can have an effect, but there was no defense for specific punches. Like, it was over and over again. It wasn't, you know, he was strategically better as well. It wasn't just that he was sharper and he had the power to hurt him. And he was more focused. But also, the technique was not there for Spence in terms of the defense of the punches.
So at 147, there's obviously a Spence rematch, but it goes down in there. Jerome Boudinot versus Terence Crawford would be unbelievable. It would be two switch hitters. It would be two dynamic offensive fighters at 147. At 154, I always wanted to see Crawford versus Jermell Charlo.
Yes.
But now Jermell Charlo has jumped up to 168 to fight Canelo.
Yeah.
So who's at 154 for Crawford to maybe go up and try to be unified or become a champion in a fourth weight class? Wow. That's historic.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy that we're already talking about the next thing when he just did
the nature
thing.
Of this beast.
He did the thing. You know, he did the thing, and we're talking about the big fight hangover, but at the end of the day, we're still looking for the next. We're so greedy.
No, that's what we do.
We're so greedy.
That's what you do. You do these post-fight reactions. You talk about the fight, you talk about what it means historically and the impact, and then you want to talk about what's next.
Yeah.
And with Crawford, I mean, there's fights to be made at 154. There's fights to be made at 147. He's 35 years old and going to be 36 in November. Big fights only for Crawford. He's waited this long to get into a big fight, and that's another thing we were wondering early. We were like, oh, wow, like, Crawford's never been in a fight of this stature.
Yep.
Spence has been in big fights.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were big to a degree, bigger than anything Crawford's ever been in. Like, will he wilt under the bright lights? Absolutely not. This dude stepped up and showed out.
If anything, though, I think the time off hurt Spence. Being out of the ring for that long and walking right into a big fight like this, that's tough. I was getting the feelings, because I've been in big fights. I was getting those feelings in my own stomach when I was walking out. And I was like, oh, man, when you're not used to those, that has more of an effect. So I would think that time off for Spence was definitely not helpful walking into a big fight like this. But he's going to need more time off now. He's not going to fight for a while.
He said December. I mean, that's part of the contract. I never believed that to begin with. I thought guys can agree to like a January or February if they want to do it again.
Health. He took a lot of damage.
Beating,
he was hurt.
Man.
He was hurt multiple times throughout the fight. His face was all banged up. We know about his retina. We know about the car accident, obviously. So, yeah, we got to make sure that man is healthy before we even talk about when he could possibly return. But I think it's going to be a long time.
I didn't mean that in a derogatory way. Career-ending beatdown. It's a shame to watch. I meant because... Like,
well, you meant you were speaking emotionally because you didn't enjoy what you were seeing at the end.
Especially they're going to have a rematch in December.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense, but Terence Crawford is the guy. Terence Crawford is the man. What a week. Everything was just amazing. Ronnie's on the other side of the camera. Ronnie was ringside for the first time in his life. He's getting footage. He's getting...
Which you'll all be seeing very soon, or rolling it all. Actually, you're probably already seeing it before you've seen it.
Ronnie, speaking of Kyra, how would you rate that experience?
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10, he says. His first
big fight.
Ever big fight is Spence Crawford. Special thanks to everyone that was with us all week long. It's great to meet fans out here in Vegas. The lead up was fun. This felt like a big one. Boxing is on such a heater right now. Still big fights to be made this year. It's going to be stuff with Haney, Charlo, and Canelo, Ngannou, Fury. If that's your bag, it ain't mine, but I'm still going to watch. Unbelievable, bro. Unbelievable week. I feel like sports in a really good spot. And thank you, PPV.com.
Yeah, thank you, PPV.com. It was great working with you guys. That live chat was fun. We got to interact with a lot of the people who were paying attention and watching. And That's what I mean. Listen, that's why we're getting more and more gigs because of you guys at home. So
love it, love doing this. We'll be back next week at the normal time, normal place with another pod. I'm sure there'll be a lot more narratives to come out, a lot more details about Spence and Crawford, whether there'll be a rematch and all that jazz. Remember to protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of the DMs unless you have an after party for us.
Bud is something different.
This time of year, everyone talks about going dry. But at Athletic Brewing Company, we're skipping that because we prefer going athletic, which isn't dry at all. From crisp goldens to hoppy IPAs and limited releases in between, you'll find something that fits your style. Every single non-alcoholic brew is packed with flavor and the same craft experience you love. So yeah, you could call it dry, but there's really nothing dry about it. Find your new favorite near beer at athleticbrewing.com. Athletic Brewing Company, fit for all times.